Good morning, everyone. We're getting closer to one of the more stranger holidays in the book, the holiday of Hanukkah. I'd love to get one as well. And as we get closer to this holiday, there is one strange thing that we do that when you look at the basic mitzvah of the holiday, namely the mitzvah of lighting candles, it makes no sense. And that's in the top of the source sheet. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, "Umadlikinu mevarchin bevet haKnesset mishum persumei nisa." Not only do you light a Hanukkah menorah at home, which is the basic mitzvah written in the Gemara, but somehow, no one knows how it crept in, we also light a menorah in shul. The Rama agrees and says, "Ve'en adam yotze bebeinorot shel beit haKnesset, ve'tzarich lachzor ulahadlik bebeito." Not only do we light in shul, which makes no sense, it makes so much no sense that if you lit in shul, it has no relevance to
your own personal
lighting of the menorah. We light menorah in shul, we don't know what that is, but it has nothing to do with lighting at home.
So
not at all.
The person who lights in shul, as opposed to, if you make haftorah in shul, you try to get somebody who's not going to make it at home. So here it doesn't matter if you would make the son of a tone.
Absolutely. Exactly what the Rama says. Ve'ein adam yotze v'tzarich lachzor lahadlik beveito. We'll get to that some other time. What the hotel is and what a plane is and what not. But anyway, very basic to our understanding is that there's something called lighting a menorah in shul. It is a well-established minhag, so much so that it's in the Shulchan Aruch. It has nothing to do with lighting at home. If it did have something to do with lighting at home, then if you lit in shul, you wouldn't light at home. Or if you heard the brachos, so you would have kavanah to be yotze, you wouldn't light at home. But here, black and white, you do light at home.
If you don't have a home to light in, does this take...
Okay, again, you're taking me to tangents that have nothing to do with this year, Bruce. You don't have a home.
No,
you do have a home.
To light in the
next week, God willing, we'll deal with what happens if you don't have a home, or to be more precise, when you travel.
Well, but that may be exactly the purpose.
Now, what is the purpose? So, if you look at the next source on the page, the Beit Yosef, which is the same author of the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo brings three possible reasons. Two in the names of the Kolbo, and one in the name of the Ribosh. The Beit Yosef says, on the right side of the page, why do we light in shul? Because there's a bunch of people that are traveling, and they have no home, and therefore they need to light a menorah, so we light for them. What is this reminiscent of? Where else do we have a halacha that because there's orchim, Kiddush and shul on a Friday night? Excellent, Harold and Bruce. Very, very good. So, same idea. You make Kiddush and shul for the orchim. You light in shul for the orchim. You don't have to check if there's orchim. You don't have to go, okay, anyone here? Not from here? This is what we do. Reason number one. Reason number two, the Beit Yosef says in the name of the Kobo, Shehu kedei lefarsem anes b'fnei kol ha'am u'lesader ha'brachot b'fnehem, שיש בזה פרסום גדול להשם יתברך וקידוש שמו כשמברכין אותו במקהלות. Says the Beit Yosef in the name of the Kolbo, it's very nice that you light at home and you put the menorah by the window or by the entrance and everybody sees it. But when you actually light the menorah, when you say those brachos, who's around you?
The mishpacha.
5 people, 10 people, 15 people, 20 people. In shul, you got a minion. You have 20, 30, 40, 50 people. It's a wonderful place to publicize the miracle. So based on these two reasons, you understand why you're not yotze with the menorah lighting in shul. According to the first reason, it's for the orchim. I'm not an orach, I'm going home. Number two, the lefarsem anes, that's a separate thing. You want to do a big persumei nisa bigger than my own window? That's a separate thing, nothing to do with my home. Reason number three, says the Ribosh, is an interesting reason. Haminhag hazeh ladlik bebet haKnesset minhag vatikin hu mishum persumei nisa. Kivan she'ein anu yecholim lekayem ha-mitzvah ketikuna, lahadlik kol echad befetach beito mibachutz, bipnei sheyad ha'umot tkefa. Comes the Ribosh and says, I don't know what you're talking about. There's a Gemara that says, ner ish uveito, candle per home. So where did this idea of lighting in shul come from? It makes no sense, it has no source. So why do we do it? Because as Jewish history went on, people couldn't light by the window or by the doorpost. Where did they have to light? Inside the house, because there was a clear and present danger. Because there was no publicizing of the miracle, which is fine, they instituted that you light in shul, where there would be a public menorah lighting because people are in shul. Now, obviously, we can talk about many, many ramifications between these wonderful reasons. Reason number one, two, and three. Reason number one, because of people that don't have a home, guests. Reason number two, to make the bracha in front of a lot of people. And number three, because no one lights outside anymore. We can think about ramifications, such as, if we do light outside, Baruch Hashem, we're living in Israel. So the reason the ribosh is out, only the first two reasons stay. There's no guests. Everyone here is a local. We don't allow any guests in. Reason number one is out. Maybe the last two reasons stay. What I want to deal with today is a fascinating question regarding this lighting in shul. It's a well-instituted minhag. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. But whatever the reason is, we light in shul. Now, you have a shul in the northern hemisphere that is in the middle of the winter. What time is menorah lighting? If you look on top of the page, when does the Ramah say to light? Nohagin lahadlik beveit hakneset ben mincha lema'ariv. What time is Shkia nowadays, approximately?
4:20.
So we're lucky here in Israel. We got a mincha at 4:30, approximately, let's say. When do people come home from work? When do normal people come home? People that work for a living, not like me. When do you work? When do you actually come home from work? People come home 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock. Traffic, whatnot. What happens if you're in a shul? You're a good rabbi, and you have a minyan for Mincha Ma'ariv on paper, and people come, and you don't have a minyan. But you have 10 people in the shul. You don't have a minyan, but you have 10 people. What do I mean? You have women there. You have to remember that today many women come to shul to say Kaddish, and therefore there is a situation where there could be 6 men in shul and 4 women. Do you light the menorah in that situation? In other words, is it a function of having people around in the shul, or is it a function of having a minyan there? And again, I go back to the beginning of the shir, gentlemen. We already said that lighting menorah in shul is a strange idea. We already said that we don't know where it came from. So now we have to see, well, what is this minhag? Is this minhag to light in front of a lot of people? So whatever the people are, they can be women, or they can be men, they can be under bar mitzvah, above bar mitzvah, or is it only instituted within the context of, as the Ramah says, ben mincha l'mayriv? Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that it has to be between Mincha and Ma'ariv before Aleinu, because then there's still a minyan. The minute Aleinu is over, there's no minyan. People are in the shul, but there's nothing connecting them. It's like you have a bunch of screws on the table, and they're not connected. If you put all the screws into a drawer, and you make yourself a closet, then they're all connected. How do you make the closet? You have a minyan. You say Ashrei Kaddish, etc. We're all connected. Once we're not connected, we got disconnected, because davening is over. There's no minyan, said Rav Soloveitchik. No minyan, you can't light the menorah. Or maybe you don't need a minyan. You don't need a connection. You don't need a minyan. You need a lot of people. So if you look at the next source in the page, the Mor Uktzia says as follows. Who is the Mor Uktzia? Obviously, that was not the name given to him at his bris. That's not the name that he went to school with. If he went to school with the name Mor Uktzia, you will understand that he would be made fun of every day. Who is the Mor Uktzia? The Mor Uktzia was Rav Yaakov Emden. I'm sure you heard of that name. Rav Yaakov Emden, his years 1697 to 1776. He was a prolific writer, I would say the first blogger in history, because he had a publishing house at his disposal given to him by the local government. He wrote against almost every rabbi that moved. He had a big controversy with one of the greatest rabbis of his time, Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz, that I happen to be related to. And he didn't just fight against him. He fought against a lot of people. He was a true blogger. So he has very original views on many issues. And he wrote on everything. He wrote many, many different things. He's known as the Yabetz. He has a sitter. And he has a perish on the Shulchan Aruch called Mor Uktzia, on the Torah. And he says as follows, Bebeit HaKnesset, again, the second reason of the Beit Yosef. He decided the reason is to make the bracha in front of a lot of people and to sanctify God's name. The minute you hear the word sanctify God's name, what does that remind you of? What is the source of a minyan? The Gemara learns certain things you need a minyan for. Megillah Daf Kaf Gimel. The Gemara says, how do you know? And it uses the pasuk, V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. And I shall be sanctified within the people of Israel. And uses the word Eidah, Adat Yisrael. So says Rav Yaakov Nemdin, V'adai tzarich kahal mamash, V'en Eidah p'chuta me'asara. In order, if this minhag was instituted, so that you could publicize the miracle and make a bigger Kiddush Hashem. When do you say Kaddish? In the minyan. When you say Kiddusha? With a minyan. So if the whole idea of lighting candles in shul is to bring more sanctification into lighting candles, you need a minyan. If you need a minyan, women are not counted. Minyan is 10 men.
Is it from the Meraglim?
Yes, so. There were 10 men in the Meraglim.
10 not good guys.
Not good guys. We gave shirim on that. But 10 men. So therefore, says Rav Yaakov Emden, you need a minyan. Therefore, if you have 6 men and 4 women, according to Rav Yaakov Emden, you do not light the menorah. Ein madlikin lo nitkenu anerot l'shanotan beveit hakneset, ela betzibur bilvad. Who disagrees with him? The Shut Rav Paalim. The Shut Rav Paalim was written by Rav Yosef Chaim ben Eliyahu El Chacham. No one knows him by that name. The famous, famous Ben Yishchai. The famous Ben Yishchai, he made it to the 20th century. He died in 1909. The Ben Yishchai disagrees with Rav Yaakov Emden. And he says as follows on the left side of the page. He says that why do you light a menorah in shul? Because of Pirsumi Nisa, to publicize the miracle. Finished. Publicize the miracle. If that's the case, he says, V'nira li b'siyata d'shmaya lehochiach, de'gam b'nashim chashiv pirsum. If the whole idea is to publicize the miracle,
you don't need a minyan.
This is not Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. This is to publicize the miracle. So as long as you have a lot of people there, namely 10, it could be 6 men and 4 women, no problem. And he doesn't just say, I'm going to say this off the top of my head, in the middle of the night I'm going to shoot from the hip. He says, I have a very interesting source for you. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, as we continue, that the Megillah is read on Purim. And the Shulchan Aruch says, even though you don't need a minyan, tzarich lachzor achara sarai. It's better to lane the Megillah in a minyan, says the Ramah there. Yesh li istapek, I have a suffix. The Ramah sitting in Krakow says, you know, I've been thinking, im nashim mitzarfot la sara. What did the Ramah just say? Let's be careful. The Ramah is not a reformed rabbi. He's not saying we count women for a minyan. What is he saying? Let's be delicate and careful. When we say you have to lane the Megillah in a minyan, you don't need a minyan to lane the Megillah. It's not like Kriya Satorah. Namely, if there's no minyan, you don't lane. It's a good thing to lane it in a minyan. If you don't have a minyan, you lane it by yourself with the same brachas before. Says the Ramah, in order to have this additional level of Pirsumei Nisa, of not just laming the Megillah and saying, oh, the Jews, they wanted to kill them, they didn't, let's eat, but let's say that in public. Maybe women are part of the public. All you have to do is say it in public. Public is men and women. That's the way God created the world. Men and women roam the face of the earth, despite segregation on certain buses that actually go in our area. Men and women roam the face of the earth. So says the Ramah, maybe for this additional level of Pirsumei Nisa, women are good enough. So says the Ben Yishchai, since the Ramah contemplated it, Vayein Magin Avraham, Yeshumim Shemitzdarfot, Mishum Vayeshumim Shein Mitzdarfot. He says some people say that they're part of the minyan, quote unquote, for the publication of the miracle of Purim, and some say not. Why do they say not? Not because you need a minyan, but mishum pritzuta. Who would like to explain those words? Pritzus. What's pritzus? Immodesty. Women didn't leave the house in those days, so all of a sudden you're going to have a Megillah reading with men and women. It's immodest. So therefore, says the Ben Yishchai, why don't they join the minyan? Because it's not modest. Hare hatam taima deba'inen asara mishum pesumi nisa. So here you have an example where you want 10 people to publicize the miracle. Va'al kol zeh. Imlav mishum pritzuta, if not for the issue of modesty, have amrina nikar pirsuma binashim. In other words, no one disagrees that women are part of the 10. The only disagreement is it modest or not? But everyone agrees that to publicize a miracle, you do not need 10 men. You don't need a minyan. You need 10 people. So we have an interesting machlokas here between the Rav Yaakov Emden and the Ben Ish Chai. When we light a menorah in shul to publicize the miracle, that's the reason they're going with. They're not going with the Orchim issue. Do you need a proper minyan, l'kadesh et shemo, to sanctify God's name like we do with Kaddish and Kedusha? Or no, you need people in the room. So if you have 6 men and 4 women or whatever it might be, it's good enough. And he proves it from the 10 of Megillah. Now obviously he went to Megillah because that's the other rabbinic holiday we have, where there is an obligation to fulfill the miracle, not to fulfill a mitzvah, and to say the bracha of Sha'as Anisim. So since you say it there, you say it here, he says, well, let's see what the parameters are there, and I'll just take it over here. It's the same rabbis, it's the same Torah. Yes?
A lot of shuls will have the Megillah reading and Purim with a much larger group of people for this reason of doing it in a larger group. Would it be better in a shul that has many breakery, little minyanim during the day, to have Hanukkah lighting, and at a time, let's call all the daveners?
Yes.
One time, because normally
absolutely.
We don't normally do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
There's
you should do that.
A special time to daven on
absolutely.
Hanukkah when everyone's together.
Everyone, exactly. After Mincha, between Mincha and Maariv, when people are in the shul together,
well, we
have to do it. Again, according to Rav Soloveitch, you could probably agree with Yaakov Emden, you need a minyan or something that connects the screws to the closet. You need a minyan, so it's not good to have a bunch of people come in for menorah, for Hanukkah lighting. But according to the Ben Ish Chai, you just need people, so I don't care. Get the people in the room and light. Why the shul? That's the place where people go to. By the way, there's many ramifications we can take out of this machlokas. One of them is, can you light in a place that's not a shul?
Like a wedding hall where you have hundreds of people.
So you have a lot of people, but it's not a minyan. It's not in the misgeret of davening. If Yaakov Emden would say, if you have a minyan, what to talk about? But no minyan, don't even begin the conversation. According to Ben Ish Chai, yes.
It doesn't work.
No, but here, now it's
what? Oh, it works now?
Yes.
Oh,
well.
Yes.
Okay. Isn't it a bracha about Talos that you're doing? If no one's yotze in shul for lighting,
it's not a bracha levatala. It's a well-established minhag.
Again,
it's not a bracha levatala because there's two kinds of menorah lightings. One is the one that we talk about all the time, the one at home. That's the basic mitzvah. As time went on, there was an additional minhag established to light in shul, which has different reasons and different parameters on. It's the same bracha. I would say it like we say in Hebrew. It's the same lady with a different skirt. Namely, it's not the same mitzvah. It's not that we're doing the mitzvah at home and we're also doing it in shul. It's not.
It's not the same mitzvah.
And if you want an example of it, no one in there... It's a mitzvah of lighting menorah in shul. It's not a mitzvah of lighting menorah at home.
But the bracha itself is a bracha levatala.
It's not a bracha levatala because it's a well-established minhag to light in shul, whatever the reasons might be. There's a a bracha levatala means when you make a bracha for no reason. You make a bracha on shaking a lulav and there's no lulav.
You make a bracha on a mitzvah.
This is a mitzvah that the rabbi said to do. Now, when do they say to do it is a good question. When did it creep into Judaism is a good question.
It's a mitzvah, it's a minhag? Which is it?
It's a minhag.
Minhag, what other minhag do we have that we make a bracha on?
Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Halel on Rosh Chodesh. You're bringing up a very interesting machlokas in Rishonim. Do we make brachas on minhagim? Or don't we make brachas on minhagim? We only make them on rabbinic enactments. Because what is the words we use? Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu. It's either God commanded us, or the rabbis, by virtue of the license from God, commanded us. Here, this is a custom. Do we make a bracha on customs? There's no easy answer for that because we have examples on this side and on that side. When you clap the aravos on Hoshana Rabbah, which is a minhag neviim, you don't make a bracha. On the other hand, a halal on Rosh Chodesh, you are an Ashkenazi, you do make a bracha. And there's other minhagim that we make brachas on. So to make a long, it's a big machlokas in Rishonim. This is one of the examples of a minhag that we do make a bracha on. We do make a bracha on. But the reason for lighting in shul is totally different from lighting at home. Nothing to do with one another. And therefore, we're talking about the one in shul. No one in their right mind would start saying, do I need a minyan at home? It wouldn't even creep in to the conversation. Home, you light the way you light. Only in shul, because it's different, we're even dealing with this question here. Yes. Hands was up. Harold? No? Okay. So what's the practical ramification between them? Erev Shabbos. What happens on Erev Shabbos in shul? So at home, because we're living in the northern hemisphere, it's a big problem because we have to get everything in on these short Shabboses before Shabbos begins, because as you know, you do not kindle a candle on Shabbos. So therefore, you cannot light after Tzeita Kochavim on Friday night, after the sun goes down, let alone when it gets dark, and therefore you light beforehand. What do you do in shul? Says the Raman, that same Shulchan Aruch, V'yeshno hagin latik be'erev Shabbat, kodim mincha. And sure, when do you light? Before mincha. Why do you light before mincha, not after mincha, like you do every day? Because it might be after shkia, the way the gabbais make mincha nowadays. Sometimes mincha begins before shkia and ends after shkia. Not the end of the world, but there are two problems with it. One we won't deal with today. It's an issue, and that is there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos to add on from Friday to Shabbos, and you're in the middle of the Friday davening when already shkia comes in. The proper thing to do is to finish 2-3 minutes before shkia. That's a minor issue. We can deal with it. I have answers for it. The bigger issue is if you do an actual malacha, if you do an actual violation of Shabbos, biblical, after shkia. If you light a menorah after shkia. So because of this, they say, oh, there's a minhag to light Erev Shabbos before mincha. Well, before mincha, there's no minyan in the room, is there? There's no minyan. Minyan begins when mincha begins. When the first kaddish is there that connects the people together, there's a minyan. Beforehand, there's no minyan. People are creeping in. So, there could be two people in the room, and the gabbai or the shamish or whoever is designated is lighting the menorah. What happened to our minyan? Look at the right side of the page. The Biur Halacha brings our friend, the Moruk Tziya. What would you think Rav Yaakov Emden would say on this? He was the one that said you needed a proper minyan. What would he say?
Beforehand, you would think you would need a minyan.
Right? So he comes along and says, the Biur Halacha brings him, and he says that the Sharei Tshuva, or the Sharei Tshiva from Munkach says, Cholek al zeh, v'dato, ki hevan shema shemad lakim b'et kinsu k'til f'arseh manes p'ma k'ilot, ba'in an dafka shiwa sara b'sha'at ad laka. You can't just light the menorah in shul, you have to have a minyan. Even Friday. So if there's not 10 people in the room over bar mitzvah, no dice. And therefore, Paskins of Yaakov Emden, Val Ken Dato, the Tzarich Kahal Mamash, Ve'en Eidab Chutam Asara. And therefore, he says, Ima Sha'at Chuka, and the Vatela Hadlaka. And therefore, if indeed you see there's no minyan coming, Shkia is quickly coming. So he's not going to be what we call in Hebrew a Rosh Bakir. He's not going to say, we'll just wait. He says, light the menorah without a bracha. When do you make a bracha in lighting the menorah in shul? When there's a minyan. So he totally disagrees with this Ramah. However, the minhag is like the Ramah. Now, if the minhag is like the Ramah, what does that tell you? If you look on the left side of the page, that might be a clear-cut proof that you can count women. Because you don't need a minyan. Says the Yalkut Yosef. Yalkut Yosef is written by Rav. It's the abbreviation of Rav Ovadia Yosef Zichron Levrachas Piskei Halacha. He says, "B'taknesset Shadayin Lo Geu Mitpalim Mitpalel Mincha Be'erev Shabbat Ve'yesham Rov Minyan Ve'Gam Kama Nashim Nimtzaot Be'ezrat Nashim Shebe'Beit Haknesset." So you get the shul on time, and there's around 6 men and 4 women, exactly our case. If Shadat Zarif Et Hanashim LeMinyan Asarad LaTakat Neirot Chanukah Shebe'Beit Haknesset. He paskins like the Ben Ishchai. By the way, he usually disagrees with the Ben Ishchai. This is a rare case that he actually agrees. And he brings various proofs to prove his point. First of all, our Megillah case. Second of all, he says women are as chayav in lighting a menorah as men. There's no difference in their level of obligation. So if there's a minhag to light a menorah in shul, and it's upon the congregation includes both men and women. That's what the Rav Ovadia Yosef Paskins. The middle point of view is the Magen Avraham. He says something a little different. The Magen Avraham comes along and says, just to be intellectually honest, listen, I'd like to be machmir to have a minyan. But when I light the menorah, there is no minyan. So says the Magen Avraham, you can light the menorah before there's a minyan. Why? Because you have almost a probability of 99% that on a Friday night, eventually, there will be a minyan. It's not like during the week where you call people are at work, traffic, whatnot. Friday night, there'll be a minyan. Ela what? They didn't come on time. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, you can light the menorah, al da'at zeh, that eventually you will get a minyan. And the Biur Halacha says exactly the same thing, and he quotes many points of view that you can light and with a bracha.
I mean, if you knew you're not going to, you shouldn't do it.
If you know for sure there's no minion,
but if you have even a probability
that you will have a minion, in other words, you're in a shul, Friday night there's 20 people, or 15 people that make the minion. Right now there's 5. It's a winter Shabbos. It's Shabbos Hanukkah. But you know eventually a minion may come, could come, says the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim, says the Magen Avraham, all agree that you can light the menorah. Why? Because a minion may come. In other words, you do not need a minion to light the menorah. You need eventually a minion to see the menorah, because what's the reason for lighting? So what did I answer this rabbi? I said to him that in my opinion, you can count the women. Number one, you have a Ben Ish Chai and a Rav Ovadia Yosef that says you can count women for this, because all you need is Pirsumei Nisa. It's not a din of minyan. It's a din of Pirsumei Nisa. Once it's a din of publicizing the miracle versus a din of Davar Shebikdusha, you can count women. And number two, if you don't believe me, then even if you don't count women, if you think you may get a minyan, then you probably can light the menorah too.
Would you recommend much longer candles?
Now, why did I say this? Because I said that indeed, in Chutz La'aretz, many, many people light menorahs. Even people that eat nevelos and trefos light the menorah. No one knows why. I think it's because of other holidays that happen at the same time, and the Jews said, why should we be
left out?
So we have something, and we got it. To make a long, long story short, there is many songs about it. I believe that is the reason why Hanukkah got its primary stance in Jewish law, because of the other holidays at that time of the year. And this year, it is day for day. Literally day for day. Now, I told this rabbi, A, you can count women based on the Ben Ish Chai. B, now if you don't want to go with that, eventually you may get a minyan. I think you can count. And number C, in Chutz La'aretz versus Israel, there are many places that decided that the minute there was a sakana once upon a time, we continue to light at home even though there's no sakana today. And this is already brought in many poskim, especially in Hasidic circles, that they light at home, bedavka, even when they live in Israel. Now in Israel it's less found, but in Chutz La'aretz it's found almost everywhere. They light on the table at home. So where is the publication of the miracle? Where do we publicize the miracle? Nowhere. So the only place you can publicize the miracle properly is either for your little family or big in the shul. And therefore I believe that it's another reason to light in the shul, because the basic reasons given, 2 out of 3, was to publicize the miracle, either with a minion, without a minion, but to publicize the miracle. So for these 3 reasons, I instructed this rabbi, who says winter is a little iffy with the minion, to light the menorah. A, you have women in the room, you have 10 people, albeit not all above bar mitzvah, and you can probably count women. B, even if you don't want to count women, eventually maybe a minion will come. And C, indeed, the basic reasons is to publicize the miracle, and you want to publicize the miracle. And you can be somech on the fact that, even though I don't like this point of view, but how do the Chabadnikim light in the middle of nowhere? The Gemara says, Ner Yishuveto, you light by the doorpost, you light by the window, you light inside the house. Where do the Chabadnikim come off and light in the middle of the street?
The big one.
How do they light in the middle of the street? They say, we learned it from the shul. Well, you can light in the shul. It's not a house. You don't need a mezuzah in a shul. It's not a house. You can light in the street. So you can be somich, of course, in that point of view, which is established, which I can prove. I don't personally agree with it, but I can understand it. I know it's halachically sound, and therefore you can light in shul. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you why I went out of my way. Because, quite frankly, what would happen if he wouldn't light in shul? As I said, many people light at home. It's not like if you don't light in shul, they won't light at home. It's not like Kiddush, where if you don't make Kiddush in shul, they'll never hear Kiddush. Lighting menorah is pretty well-founded. Most people do it. And it's only a rabbinic mitzvah and whatnot. If you don't light the menorah, you didn't do a mitzvah. Okay. But quite frankly, most people do. So why did I go out of my way and say, okay, you should do it? And with the bracha and the whole gamut. Why do you think I went out of my way? And here I'd like to make a statement, and with this I conclude. I believe that shuls around the world have to eventually get to a situation where they work like the rest of the shuls around the world. So even if you're in a small community right now, and you have to use every heter on the books and off the books in order to have a functioning shul. You have to skip parts of davening. You have to say parts of davening in English and whatnot. You eventually want to get to a situation where your shul is part of all the shuls in the world. And someone, as I said last week, from Italy can walk in and feel comfortable in your shul. He won't understand the speech. He won't understand the announcement, but he'll understand what's going on. Since in every shul around the world there is a well-established minhag based on the Shulchan Aruch and way before him to light a menorah in shul, I felt that your shul should function like every shul. Yes, you have problems that other shuls don't have, the lack of a minyan. So we found reasons why you should do it anyway. But I went out of my way because I think that the goal of any rabbi or community leader is to get the Jews to a situation where they're living like the rest of their brothers and sisters around the world. The same Jewish lifestyle at home and the same Jewish lifestyle at shul. And therefore, I think it's extremely important that even though it's a small little minhag lighting in shul, no one's going to go crazy over it, I think it's extremely important and vital that we try to make shuls like the rest of the shuls. It may take 20 years, but eventually we creep up there. And the rabbi can explain what it's based on, and ultimately, you can go further. If you asked me, what is it based on? So we found three reasons in the Beis Yosef. I would add a fourth reason, and it's brought in many, many different poskim. You light in the shul because it's like the Beis HaMikdash. A shul is a Mikdash Me'at. The actual miracle happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you light in the shul. That would, by the way, rule out lighting in public squares. It would only be in a shul. But to make a long story short, I believe that every shul should try to get through to that level. So, to sum up for today, we dealt with lighting menorah in shul, and can we count women? We found the machloket between Rav Yaakov Emden and the Ben Ish Chai. One says yes, one says no. I believe that you should, A, because the Ben Ish Chai said it's okay, and Rav Avadya Yosef echoed it. B, maybe a minyan will come eventually, and we based our whole Chanukah menorah lighting on Friday based on that. So you can do that every day of the week too. Friday night is not different than Thursday night. And C, even if I'm totally off on this, you can somech on the shita that in a shul, you light the menorah. In any case, just like many Chabadnik can light the menorah in the middle of public square, because they say there is a pirsum hanes. What is the pirsum hanes? In front of the people that are there. Because of these reasons, I believe you should light the menorah in shul, even if you don't have a minyan.